here with me is this Gordon.
Hi.
Hi. When did you graduate from our school?
I think that would have been 2017.
Yeah, and you're studying now what? What are you doing right now? And can you tell me a little bit something about your major, what you're doing right now?
Right, so I'm studying mathematics. It's technically called Technische Mathematik in German, but it's just math at the Johannes Kepler University. Been studying for 5 semesters now. I'm at the end of my 5th semester. And it's been a lot of fun for me. What's been really interesting is that it's so different from the kind of math that we do at school.
How is it different?
Let's start at the beginning. Yeah. When you start studying mathematics, you also start from the very beginning. And the foundations of mathematics are set theory and logic. Mm-hmm. And both of those things are either not mentioned at all or only barely mm-hmm. in the regular lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And from there on, you build all of mathematics from mm-hmm. the ground up.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay.
And in essence, it's much more about problem solving rather than maybe numbers or problems mm-hmm. in particular.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I see. Okay. And basically, you've been going to our school here. Were you already in the Zentrale Reifeprüfung?
Yeah, I did the Zentrale Reifeprüfung.
That means you got prepared. And then you immediately started to study math at the university.
Yeah.
And what were some of the difficulties that you had? Because, of course, university is always different than...
It's very different. And actually, I had a lot of difficulties in the first 4 weeks, approximately. So there was a summer course before mm-hmm. the semester starts mm-hmm. that I didn't know about.
Mm-hmm.
So when the first week of lessons actually started, the professor started writing all sorts of symbols on the board. And I didn't even know what any of them meant
mm-hmm.
Because there's an introductory course at the beginning in the summer that I missed.
And nobody told you about this?
And nobody told me about it. And also, we don't learn about most of these symbols, these logic symbols in school, which mm-hmm. is kind of a shame because it's not on the curriculum for the Zentralmatura.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I had to work with a couple of books and my professors the first couple of weeks. I actually had to work quite hard.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, I really got into it. And because I had to do a lot of work on my own, I actually had a good head start on the others
because mm-hmm.
I had to really dig into some books.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
And you told me that it's called computational math. That means it's going also into artificial intelligence.
That's what I'm doing. Computational mathematics is the master's degree.
Okay.
So the bachelor's degree is Technische Mathematik,
mm-hmm.
and then the master's degree is computational mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
Although the focus of the degree is more on computation, being numeric computation, algorithms, and symbolic computation. Those would be the bigger themes, but I'm most likely going to spend a lot of time doing AI and big data kind mm-hmm. of things. And what's quite interesting is once you do your master's degree, you can choose almost half of your courses quite freely from
okay.
a big range of topics.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's quite easy to specialize in something, even if it's not on the mandatory list of subjects that you have to study.
Mm-hmm. I see. Yeah. I get it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I got into this subject on my own because it's getting kind of big, all this neural network, artificial mm-hmm. intelligence kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then through my work at the Linz Center of Mechatronics.
Because you're already employed, you just told me you're working already.
Yeah, I'm working already. I'm doing 12 hours a week.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot.
That is a lot, yeah. It's tough, but I'm doing quite well at university, so I can... It's okay for this semester, especially because I don't have lessons on Friday.
Okay.
So I can do 8 hours on Friday and the other 4 hours I do in between. And some I can do at home because
mm-hmm.
they're
mm-hmm.
really flexible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
University life is quite different, right?
It's completely different. Actually, about a year ago, because you don't have a Mr. Kim running after you and telling you, oh, you need to hand in this and this and this and that, you can completely miss stuff. You can just not show up at a test and get a 5 in a subject,
mm-hmm.
even if you did a lot of work before that. But, you know, if you miss certain stuff, no one's going to remind you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe the teacher doesn't even send you an email in advance, you got to plan everything out.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was going to say is about a year ago, I actually fell into a little bit of a slump.
Mm-hmm.
I got behind on some stuff. It took me a long time to catch back up on everything.
Okay.
And a lot of people that fall behind, they just quit because
mm-hmm.
it gets too tough to catch back up.
Mm-hmm.
Or they just stop for a year and then try and get back into the semester from the beginning.
Do you see that there are several students who actually drop out at university?
Or? Oh, yeah, in every subject. I would say about half of all students drop out in within the first year, maybe more.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they get into, they don't catch on and they just...
I think it's a variety of reasons. Either they find out that the subject is not for them. I've, at the beginning of my studies, I talked to some people and they weren't very enthusiastic about the subject.
They just chose it because...
Like it was their second choice or their parents disapproved of them going with a different subject. There's no money in arts. There's no money in psychology or whatever parents would say. They were gifted in mathematics. They chose mathematics. But in the end, if you don't have the drive or a passion for it, then you're not going to be able to make it. And that's how I saw lots of people drop out.
Okay.
And then usually, at least at our university, there are one or two subjects within the first year that are very hard. I think in certain subjects, they make it hard so that they reduce the amount of students. In subjects like law and, and medicine, it's quite crowded.
Okay, yeah. So they have to reduce the number of students, basically. Right. Because like our internal, we always call this internal admission exam.
And I find it very fair. I find it much fairer than having exams beforehand.
Okay.
Because you actually get to live the entire experience.
Okay,
and
I
then,
see.
And then if you're good, you can keep on doing things. For us... In most of the technical fields, there's no problem with having too many people. For example, for one course I just signed up for, there were 200 places available and five people signed up. And then on the other hand, if I were to study law, if there are 200 places available, I have to make sure that at midnight, before everything is available, I need to sit on my laptop and click the refresh button. And make sure that by the minute that you can get in, you click on that sign up button, because otherwise you're not going to get in. It's this tough. And you have people, maybe you've seen the pictures, sitting in the hallway, stuff like that. Yeah, it's,
because everyone at midnight is going to sign up for the courses. And,
right.
And if you don't get in, you end up losing a year maybe. Or...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, yeah. Especially in law, where there are a few subjects that make up... half of all your credits for the semester.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think they deliberately make it difficult.
I think so, yeah.
Because they want to reduce the number of students, I guess.
I think so too, yeah. I mean, for us, I don't think our professors want us to be less people. They always want more people in all these scientific areas, you know, math, physics, even informatics. Big problem is in informatics, all the students are being bought by the companies. That's what our professors tell us.
So before they even finish?
Sometimes before they finish their bachelor's or before they finish their master's. Because they start getting into internships. And then at the moment, people in IT are demanded so highly, even mathematicians, because at our university, because it's called technical mathematics, there's a certain focus on programming and everything concerning computing. So even... my colleagues, some of them have gone to IT companies and they now work as programmers.
Even before they finished university?
Even before they finish a bachelor's or a master's degree, yeah. Just because they will earn 2,000 euros out of the gate. It's crazy. There's a huge demand out for it. If you are talented and you can get into some internship program, which is not difficult at all, there's a good chance they might offer you a full-time position.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So I take it... Your advice is to study the right things. If you study the, but you gotta have the passion for it. Otherwise, of course, you're not gonna make it.
Yeah.
But if you like this type of stuff, then
you're gonna thrive. I think. Yeah.
Okay.
Especially in this, for us, we have 20 people who are actively studying, like in my year.
So this means that it's not even overcrowded. The whole thing.
Not at all. Like all my professors, they know us. We can talk to them. They know each student, which is not possible in other subjects. And that's
Why do you think, I mean, I don't know if you know the answer, but I mean, you often hear that, especially in Austria and many other countries as well, there are simply not enough folks who are going into the IT direction or a certain or a technical direction, even though it's there's such a high demand for it and it's well paid. But why is it still relatively unpopular? As you mentioned, folks prefer to go into other areas.
Well, I think there's also a stigma. I don't know why, but a lot of... older people think that IT is overcrowded, and it's the opposite at the moment.
Why would people think it is?
They think, okay, everyone is studying informatics, software design, or whatever. They hear it everywhere. They think it's overcrowded, but it's the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason why not a lot of people do it is because it's very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It is really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a subject you can really study for. It's more of a skill rather mm-hmm. than a subject you can learn for. It's more like a maybe a sport or an instrument or writing an essay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's because you basically have to do freestyle problem solving mm-hmm. on the fly all the time. And only to a certain extent can you actually prepare for things.
Yeah, so let's put it this way. One way thing would be studying anatomy, where you have to memorize
all the bones in Latin or whatever.
Yeah, and this here, it's not so much studying by heart, but you have to actually be able to get the tools together to solve a problem.
Exactly, okay? Yeah.
Algorithmic thinking, I've heard people sometimes have problems thinking in a problem-solving type of manner.
Right, yeah. And especially with programming, there are different nuances. First of all, you have to be able to think like a computer.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you program something, you need to program it in a way so that a human can read it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two things that are sort of at odds with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And you try and find a balance mm-hmm. in between. And that's where you get people who can actually write elegant code, where you can say,
this is
beautiful, this is clean. And then there are other people where you say, oh, this is a mess.
Yeah.
Even though they are technically the same thing. They still solve the same problem, but one is of better quality than the other.
The one is more readable, more elegant, simpler maybe,
yeah.
A simpler solution to a more complex problem.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Okay, and that is, to a certain extent, maybe comparable to an art even.
Of course, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think people just have to have a gift for it
mm-hmm.
And a passion.
How would you, if there are people who are interested in going into this direction, and I know that several people just now started to study artificial intelligence because it's a new course. And
yeah.
Yeah, but if you have people who, because we are as a general education school, of course, we do not prepare them so much now for in the technical aspect. We do not have such a strong focus on computer programming, for example.
Mm-hmm.
What would you suggest to them? Now, they're kind of worried that they finish a general education school like our school here, and then they're going and they want to go into computer programming or into the technical area, and they're kind of worried maybe they're competing now with people from the HTL.
Right, yeah.
How would you see this? Is it a disadvantage that we don't have this technical background, or is it more of an ad? Or how would you, it's a probably balanced answer, but how would you see this?
I would say we don't have a disadvantage. I would say people from a HTL have an advantage. Basically, my experience has been, even in math, the people from the HTL, they're going to have a really easy time in maybe the first one or two semesters
mm-hmm.
because they've already learned some of the things. So whatever you're missing now after a regular gymnasium, you're going to learn everything.
Mm-hmm.
This means that for people from the HTL, in certain courses, they can just lay back and relax because they've basically learned it. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe usually it's more theoretical and mm-hmm. more in-depth than mm-hmm. they've learned at the HTL, but it's basically the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then after about a semester, usually the gap is closed
mm-hmm.
and then it's fair game for anyone. So I don't see a huge advantage for the one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one situation where I can see someone having a huge advantage, and that's when they've done an internship somewhere.
Okay, so internship, right. Working in a company over the summer holidays or whatever.
Yeah, that is absolutely invaluable. I can tell you from my experience, I've been interning at the company that I work at now
mm-hmm.
Since I've been 16.
Mm-hmm.
And back then I knew some of the basics of coding in Java. Mm-hmm. I actually learned it just for fun. I was modding a popular video game
mm-hmm.
Called Minecraft. Maybe if someone, and it's written in Java, and I was just changing some code around.
Mm-hmm.
I applied over there, and after just 1 month, because you got to think you work 40 hours for a couple of weeks in a month.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost 200 hours that you're working. And just seeing the way the code is made is absolutely invaluable. So in certain courses, especially the courses that are supposed to prepare you for the real world, I was able to understand much better why it is important to write code for people rather than for the computer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because you have to work together. It's very much about collaboration.
Okay. You're not the only one who programs, but other people have to maintain your code.
Yeah.
They got to improve on it. They're going to write extensions to it.
Exactly.
They have to debug it and all this stuff. Yeah.
The biggest thing too is in any company that programs, code is going to be reused. That's a rule.
Mm-hmm.
That's something a lot of people don't think about. But whenever there's a new project,
mm-hmm.
The first thing you do is you do research. First of all, is there stuff that we have done as a company before? And is there stuff that others have used? And can we use it for free?
Mm-hmm.
So first you want to go into a planning stage.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
then if there's a project, maybe 10 years ago, by a guy that's not even working at the company anymore, then your boss is going to say, well, you're not going to write it from scratch. You're going to use his code. You're just going to have to modify this and that.
And if you don't understand what in the world the guy was doing, you know?
Exactly. It's a mess. And it might take you a couple of weeks to read his code.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You got to study somebody else's work first before you even can build up on that.
Exactly. And then maybe you have a shaky foundation, and then starting from that, like it's a house of cards, right?
Mm.
So if you have issues at the bottom,
the whole thing on the top collapses.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
I see. Okay. How did you actually get now to the major that you're studying right now? Did you want to study something different before, or how did you make this decision process?
Yeah. I was considering doing either IT or software design or mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
And then I told myself, because I'd already done the internship,
mm-hmm.
and I know that I enjoy programming.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I know I like to do. After that, I decided to do my VVA in mathematics.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. that I have to dive into mathematics a little bit mm-hmm. and see if I like what I find.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I did.
Okay, I see.
Right.
So the VVA helped you to actually make also the decision whether this is actually something that you want
to
do.
Exactly, because okay. I had to dive into a subject and see what it's all about.
Okay, I get it.
In a more detailed way, yeah.
If when students more generally, maybe this depends again from subject to subject that you want to study, but I always ask students, alumni, what advice would you give our current 8. Klasse, year 8 students, who are now finishing the Matura and the IB, and who are going to study, who basically have to make a decision on what to study in the future. Is there any general advice that you could give, irrespective of what they're going to study in the future? Or is it such a broad question that...
My advice is to do something, and do a lot and work. That's the best advice I can give. Do something, even if you're not sure about it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because no matter what you do... it's going to change in some way, especially the more you look into it.
Mm-hmm.
Things are always different. If you like chemistry from an early child on, it's going to be vastly different as an adult, but you still have a love for chemistry even though it changes.
Mm-hmm.
My advice is just to do something.
To study something,
to do a project on your own, to do anything, because that is going to help you in the future.
Mm-hmm. So even if you are not decided yet,
Get going
and simply try it out, even if you then discover that it might not be the thing that you want to do.
Yeah, and especially if you're afraid of failure and you think you maybe cannot do it, I can only recommend to try your hardest
mm-hmm.
and try to fail a lot. Actually, fail faster, because
mm-hmm.
that's where you learn the most. I don't learn a lot if I do a project and I don't really try.
Mm-hmm.
I don't learn a lot if I do a project and I do incredibly well.
Mm-hmm.
I learn a lot when I put my heart into something and it's still not that good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of what I want to share. Yeah.
So advice from you, I summarize, don't be afraid of failing.
Yeah. Do something, try, fail and learn.
Thank you very much. This was Gordon. Thank you for visiting our school.
Yeah, thank you. It's nice.